Please open to hymn number 208. This is our work for the day. And it's only 12 stanzas. A hymn by one of our favorite hymn writers, Paul Gerhardt. If you look back in the index of authors, you'll see that he has many texts represented in our book. And in virtually every hymn book around the world has at least one text by Paul Gerhardt in it. We, of course, have a superfluity of them because we're part of the Lutheran ghetto. Yeah. The text, Thy Way in All Thy Sorrows, is classified as an Epiphany 4 text in our hymn book, taking its lead from the gospel lesson that we heard preached on Tuesday, where Jesus is asleep in the boat. And the disciples kind of figure it out. One of many times when they get it and then they forget, sort of like us. And also the text is inspired, Psalm 37, verse 5, I think it is, commit thy way unto the Lord and trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. We don't know when Gerhardt wrote this in his life. We do know that his life was a real upsy-downsy thing, many wonderful successes, well-loved as a pastor and teacher, but also sometimes not so well-loved, and family issues too. He just lived in a time where there was lots and lots and lots of death. We get just the tip of the iceberg in what we've lived through in the last however many months, compared to what, you know, in those days you sneezed in the morning and you were dead by evening. That's just how diseases came through things. And we don't know if this was a result of one of those times. We haven't been able to place the date. But, of course, it's based on that psalm text. And we're going to take a good look at it today. And we are actually going to sing all 12 verses, so I better be quiet now. The only thing that's a little bit tricky about it is the third line. Just listen. I'm going to play the second line and the third line. Nothing too bad there. And a lot of it is that skipping down to the above the word he, their course and path he giveth. Coming back down to that B is a little bit tricky. And I apologize for Mr. Steinway here. He lives really close to that cold, cold door. You should come and look at it after chapel and see the ice on it. It's wonderful. But it's... at church basement piano. So sit up straight and tall and let's do the first two stanzas. And here we go. Thy way. And that emphasis there on the power of prayer, of course, God gives us a command to pray, and he also gives us a promise that he will hear us. So if you flip back to page 33 in the front, and where we have Luther's explanation of the Lord's Prayer, I'm looking at the third petition, which is, of course, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And the explanation, "The good and gracious will of God is certainly done without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done also among us." How is God's will done? God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil counsel and will, which would not let us hallow his name, nor let his kingdom come, such as the will of the devil, the world, and our own flesh. There we have that unholy trinity listed again, the devil, the world, and our flesh. But instead, strengthens and keeps us steadfast in his word and in faith until our end. This is his good and gracious will. More on that to come. Let's stand and sing 3 and 4. Seated. And we're going back again, to the Catechism, page 32. And this really is a marvelous first article hymn. We have just page after page after page of hymns that are explicitly the second article talking of Christ and his work for us. But occasionally we come up with a shortage here. But this is a first article hymn. It talks about what? "I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them, that he richly and daily provides me with food and clothing, home and family, property and goods, and all that I need to support this body and life, that he protects me from all danger, guards and keeps me from all evil, and all this purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me, for all which I am in duty bound to thank and praise, to serve and obey him." That's such a marvelously terse explanation, and which is probably why some of you have memorized it over the years. We're going on now. We're going to sing 5 through 8. And when we come to stanza 8, you're going to find a word there that's one of those words when we're singing or reading that kind of knocks us off our chair because we've never, ever seen it before. And in stanza 8, the word is besemeth. You got to love that word. And of course, what it means, look at it, so he, that's a God, as according to his properties, what is it that Luther says here? Fatherly divine goodness and mercy. Those are the properties, and that's what that word besemeth means. It's all of those properties that are divine goodness and love. That's why he does what he does. Now, we're going to change things up a little bit here and sing this to the tune Herzlich tut mich verlangen, which I know the first two rows, you know this melody very well. Oh, sacred head now wounded. Okay, so 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's 334 if you want to keep your finger in there and kind of take a look at it. And when we get to Besemoth, I really want to hear Besemoth when we get there. Of course, there are always stories about these hymns and where, you know, what impact they had on the people. Gerhardt's texts were very well known, not necessarily written as hymns. I mean, he didn't set out to say, I'm going to write a hymn today and we're going to sing it in church on Sunday. But these were devotional exercises. A lot of people did that in those days. The story is, that's the charming story, is that this hymn found its way to a large city in northern Germany and via a baker. A person who bakes bread and stuff. And so it was a fairly large establishment, and that, you know, everybody's there doing what bakers do, and it's kind of lugubrious work. You're always, you know, watching the yeast and watching the temperature and things like that. And he knew he had picked up this hymn from someplace else, and he sang it. And by the end of the day, everybody in the bakery was singing it. And by the end of the week, everybody in the whole city was singing it. So there you go. That's the story. Now, whether you choose to believe it or not, it's a good story, though. Good stories are hard to find. Except stories about flying in an airplane. I just about the time I get over my fear of flying, then he tells his almost dead airplane story. Thank you, Chaplain, for the peace and comfort that you give to all of us. Let's stand and finish it off. 9, 10, 11, and 12. The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us. Amen. Depart in His peace.